Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Deborah Blair is a 70-year-old woman who reports she fell at work on 10-5-21. Apparently, she recalls that she was carrying items and tripped on carpet. Period, she fell forward on her hands and knees. Period, she had further evaluation and treatment, including surgery. Period, she is no longer receiving any active care. Period, Ms. Blair admits to having arthritis prior to the subject event in the same body parts. Period, she had undergone carpal tunnel surgery in 1987 and 1989. Period, subsequent to the subject event, she reports having a tear of the surgical repair done on the left. Period. New paragraph. Per the record supplied, Ms. Blair was seen by Dr. Glick, G-L-I-C-K, at the Corporate Health Center on 10-5-21. Period. She reported her sneakers caught on the rug, causing her to pitch forward and strike her right forehead against her desk, after which she then fell onto the carpeted floor on both knees. Period, she used ice on her forehead but did not take any medications. Period, she did present for further evaluation with no complaints about pain on either knee. Period, she has minor discomfort and swelling to the forehead and minor headache. Period, it was noted she had a right total knee replacement in 2014 and a left total knee replacement in July 2019. Period. He diagnosed contusion of the right forehead and minor contusion of both knees. Period. She was instructed to apply ice and use over-the-counter analgesics. Period. She followed up on 11-15-21. And indicated that 3 to 4 days after her visit, she began to experience increasing discomfort to her left thumb. Period, she used ice and an ace bandage as well as ibuprofen, but remained symptomatic. Period, she had a 2 to 3 year history of arthritis to the first CMC joints bilaterally at the thumbs. Period, because of increasing discomfort, she eventually was seen and treated by a local orthopedic surgeon. Period, due to persistent aching in December 2019, she had surgery to the left first CMC joint. Period. Surgery was successful in that she had significant reduction in her discomfort and has had no further problems until the current time. Period. She has had left carpal tunnel surgery in the distant past. Period. He performed physical exam whose results will be inserted here as marked. Period. He diagnosed aggravation of first CMC arthritis, for which he applied a thumb spicus splint. Period. She was to continue work without restrictions and return in 2 weeks. Period. At the visit of 11-29-21, the patient has requested that she be able to return to her previously treating orthopedic surgeon named Dr. Armbruster. Period, she was referred in that regard and was to continue her thumb spicus splint. Period. New paragraph. She was seen by Dr. Armbruster's physician assistant on 11-11-21 with numerous active problems that will be inserted as marked. Period. She noted having undergone left thumb CMC arthroplasty in November 2020. Period, she was doing well until a couple of weeks ago when she fell at work. Period, she reports falling mainly on her knees, but she may have tried to catch herself with her hands. Period. She initially did not equate her fall with the hand pain. Period. He noted that possibly she had rheumatoid arthritis. Period. She had a history of arthroscopic surgery of the knee, comma, knee replacement, comma, rotator cuff repair, comma, and carpal tunnel surgery. as well as heart surgery. Period. He performed x-rays of 11/11/21. Showed what appeared to be a loss of reduction of the thumb CMC arthroplasty with proximal migration of the metacarpal bone. Appeared there was no obvious fracture noted. Appeared his assessment was left hand and thumb injury with possible rupture of the tight rope thumb CMC arthroplasty. Appeared they discussed treatment options and elected to pursue an MRI for further assistance in that regard. Period. She returned on 1/13/22 when Dr. Armbrester noted he had treated her previously by performing a left thumb CMC arthroplasty in 2020. Period. She did very well and had effectively recovered from her surgery. Period. On 10/4/21, she was at work and tripped and fell on carpet, landing on her left upper extremity. Period. She claimed to have injured her left thumb at that time. Period. His assessment on this occasion was left thumb pain status post-fall, as well as history of left thumb CMC arthroplasty. Period. He noted x-rays done in November 2021 demonstrated subsidence of the left thumb metacarpal. There was disruption of the prior reconstruction with subluxation of the metacarpal itself. Period. He opined she did require further treatment. Period. He began takeover of her care on 2/16/22. Period. He wanted to try a corticosteroid injection. Period. She was seen again on 6/1/22. Period. He recommended she undergo surgical intervention. Period. MRI of the wrist was done on wrist and hand on 6/15/22 to be inserted along with the addendum. Period. New paragraph. Ms. Blair was seen by podiatrist Dr. Zak, Z-A-K, on 6/16/22. Period. She had right foot pain that was worsening of her first right metatarsophalangeal joint. Period. She feels the joint is getting worse and has more throbbing pain. Period. She wanted to get another injection because she was going away on a trip. Period. He noted she was status post left first MPJ fusion, hammer toe correction at 2 and 3 with pain. Period. X-rays confirmed worsening hallux rigidus of the first right MPJ joint with joint space narrowing. Period. His overall assessments were hallux rigidus of the right first MPJ, comma DJD of the right first MPJ, comma with pain and swelling of the right first MPJ with altered gait. Period. He recommended topical Voltaren gel and good supportive shoes with inserts. Period. In paragraph, she returned to Dr. Armbruster on 8/3/22 and was doing well with the cortisone injection given to the thumb. Period. She also had undergone the MRI. Period. He reviewed its results and expressed some disagreement with them based upon his interpretation. Period. Those paragraphs will be inserted here as marked. Period. They discussed treatment options, including surgical intervention. Period. On line 7/22, Dr. Armbrist directed he personally contacted the interpreting radiologist for the left hand MRI. Appeared they came to an understanding. Appeared he interpreted the study once again, noting the significant findings. Appeared he issued an addendum report. Appeared Deborah reported that her symptoms were unchanged, with pain about the left thumb, comma weakness and difficulties with activities of daily living. Appeared these all stemmed following her work injury. Appeared she denied interval trauma or any additional complaints. Period. His assessment was left thumb pain, status post-fall with CMC subluxation and possible rupture of tight rope, as well as history of left thumb CMC arthroplasty. Period. On 11/18/22, Dr. Armbruster performed surgery to be inserted here. Period. She followed up with him post-operatively. Period. On 12/1/22, he wrote, she was 2 weeks status post-revision, left thumb CMC arthroplasty and was doing well. Period. Her pain was well controlled, and she no longer required the use of oral analgesics for pain. Period. She still had slight numbness in the region of her surgery. Period. He continued to follow her progress. Period. This continued through 2/1/23. Period. On that occasion, the recommendation was made to proceed with continuation of activities as tolerated using the left upper extremity. Period. Her only complaint at that time was the fact she still had some weakness about the left hand, which has to be expected and should get better in the upcoming months. Period. He recommended she continue to work on a home exercise program and strengthening of the left hand. Period. Examine the left hand, showed thumb opposition, is intact and nearly full. Period. She has still has decreased grip strength about the left hand, as to be expected, but is neurovascular intact to the left upper extremity. Period. New paragraph. Prior records show Ms. Blair was seen orthopedically by Dr. Bills, B-I-L-L-S, on 9/4/08. Period. She had left great toe pain after a heavy object fell directly on it 2 weeks ago. Period. X-rays demonstrated a comminuted fracture of the distal phalanx. Period. She was initiated on orthopedic footwear that was quickly switched back to regular shoes. Period. On 1/26/10, she was seen in the same group by Dr. Nolan for right shoulder episodes of lifting, following episodes of lifting at work. Period. She denied any specific history of trauma, but feels it is due to the repetitive use of lifting, comma specifically some laptops that she has had. Period. X-ray shows some sparing of the AC joint, but no other abnormalities. Period. He performed a corticosteroid injection to the subacromial bursa. Period. He also referred her for physical therapy. Period. Dr. Nolan continued to monitor her progress. Period. On 3/29/10, he reviewed shoulder MRI that showed AC joint arthritis. Period. There was no rotator cuff tear. Period. She was otherwise intact, neurovascularly. Period. She may have some labeled degeneration. Period. His assessment was AC arthrosis on the right, for which he performed a corticosteroid injection. Period. And we'll have to insert the pertinent MRI here as well. On 10/19/10, she was seen by another physician in the group named Dr. Kojo, C-O-D-J-O-E, who was a patient of Dr. Nolan. Period. He reviewed her old MRI that actually shows severe AC joint arthritis and impingement of the supraspinatus with abnormal cystic changes within the superior glenoid. Brady diagnosed right shoulder pain secondary to AC joint degenerative changes for which corticosteroid injection was given. Period. On 5/16/11, she saw Dr. Kojo again, this time for a right ankle injury. Period. She had a history of open reduction internal fixation of the ankle in 2007. Period. X-rays showed no evidence of any acute fractures, dislocations, or bony abnormalities. Period. There was evidence of a prior ORIF of a lateral malleolus fracture. Period. He was concerned about peroneal tendon injury in conjunction with the ankle sprain. Period. He placed her in a cam walker. Period. On 10/4/11, he wrote she had recovered well, status post her right ankle sprain. Period. In paragraph on 11/22/11, she presented to Dr. Kojo again with acute right knee pain and discomfort. Period. She twisted her knee and felt a popping sensation. Period. X-ray showed maintenance of the tibiofemoral joint with minimal periarticular sparring. Period. He did not see evidence of any acute fractures, dislocations, or bony abnormalities. Period. He was concerned about internal derangement and referred her for an MRI of the knee. Period. She was seen in the office again on 12/12/11 by Dr. Kojo regarding her right knee and right shoulder. Period. He prescribed a flector patch and referred her for an MRI of the shoulder. Period. He reviewed this on 12/2/11. He reviewed the MRI of the knee on 12/2/11 to be inserted as marked. Period. Corticosteroid injection was administered to the right knee. Period. On 12/20/11, Ms. Blair saw Dr. Kojo again and reviewed the right shoulder MRI. Period. His other comments will be inserted as marked. Period. On 1/6/12, she was almost 2 weeks status post right knee arthroscopy with partial medial and lateral meniscectomy, comma chondroplasty, comma synovectomy. Period. She reports some stiffness in her knee and posterior-based knee pain. Period. She was referred for a course of physical therapy. Period. 4/2/12, Ms. Blair saw Dr. Kojo again when she complained of locking and triggering of her right small finger without trauma or injury. Period. X-ray showed no bony lesion, but normal anatomy was present. Period. His impression was right small trigger finger, which corticosteroid injection was given. Period. On 5/1/12, it was his impression she was having symptoms consistent with osteoarthritic changes in the right knee status post knee arthroscopy. Period. Another corticosteroid injection was given to the knee. Period. On 8/21/12, she had persistent right knee pain. Period. She is trying viscosupplementation injections. Period. She was having a new problem at the left knee that she described resulted from a twisting injury. Period. He injected the right knee with viscosupplementation. Period. He was concerned about meniscal pathology in the left knee, so ordered an MRI. Period. This was done on 8/24/12 to be inserted here. Period. Dr. Kojo reviewed these results with her on 9/4/12 and diagnosed left knee meniscal tear. Period. She also still had problems with her right knee and was getting a third viscosupplementation injection that day. Period. On 8/28/12, he wrote The MRI shows she does have degenerative changes as well as meniscal pathology medially. I'm a questionable meniscal pathology laterally. Otherwise, there are no new changes. A second set of viscous supplementation injections was initiated. On 4/4/13, Dr. Kojo wrote he had given her intra-articular steroid injections at the last visit that improved her pain. She had had a second opinion with Dr. Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, who concurred with the treatment plan. Corticosteroid injection was given to the right knee on this visit. On 2/1/16, Dr. Nolan diagnosed bilateral primary osteoarthritis of the first carpal metacarpal joints and left elbow lateral osteochondritis. He injected both first MCP joints with lidocaine and depomedrol and gave her a tennis elbow shot and a tennis elbow strap. At the visit of 8/26/16, he injected the left lateral upper condyle and right first CMC joint. A thumb spike of splint was applied on the right. Ongoing diagnoses were right wrist sprain with first CMC osteoarthritis and left lateral epicondylitis. On the visit of 1/11/17, x-rays of the right thumb demonstrated progression of her CMC arthritis. He performed a corticosteroid injection there, as well as to the left lateral epicondyle. On 2/16/17, they discussed surgical options for treatment of the right thumb. A cortisone injection was given on this visit. It was repeated on 7/19/17 by Dr. Armbruster. On 11/30/17, she related the injection done last July helped a great deal, but had recently worn off. She had pain in both hands and the region of the CMC articulations. This is exacerbated with activities and inclement weather. And underlying this would suggest the activities she claimed to have caused the work injury might have just been incidental. He did treat her further with injections. X-rays of the thumbs were done on 7/25/18, demonstrating bilateral thumb CMC arthrosis consistent with Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, stage 2. But there was also evidence of thumb CMC subluxation. She was not prepared to undergo surgery involving right thumb CMC arthroplasty until September, so she wanted to accept injections that day. On 3/7/19, she returned to discuss proceeding with surgery versus repeat cortisone injections to the thumb CMC joints. She was considering proceeding ahead with surgical intervention, but was already scheduled to get her knee replaced in May. Pretty wanted this done before the hand surgery was pursued. However, on this visit, a right thumb CMC ganglion cyst was aspirated. Then performed a corticosteroid injection. Ms. Blair continued to be seen in this orthopedic group. On 9/11/19, Dr. Armbruster wrote she has undergone total knee arthroplasty, after which she developed a fat embolism with stroke-like symptoms. Apparently, she was diagnosed with a patent foramen ovale that was treated surgically and was currently on Plavix. Apparently, she reported pain about the left thumb, CMC region, with catching involving the right index finger. She denied any numbness or paresthesias. They agreed to pursue surgery on the thumb, but had to hold off until she was off Plavix. Instead, she accepted a cortisone injection. On 10/31/19. She reported improvement with the right index finger A1 pulley injection, as well as her left thumb CMC joint. Her chief issue was painful catching involving the left ring finger and pain about the right thumb CMC joint. She wanted to schedule surgery for her right thumb. On 10/31/19, he performed x-rays of the hands to be inserted here. He gave an additional diagnosis of left ring trigger finger. She underwent repeat thumb, scratch at left thumb and right index finger injections on 5/7/20 with the right index trigger finger as a new diagnosis. On 8/26/20, she came in regarding her left ring finger. He diagnosed left ring finger flexor tenosynovitis as well as left ring finger swan neck deformity. Already referred her for occupational therapy, and a corticosteroid injection was given to the left ring finger A1 pulley. Already also prescribed a custom fabricated orthoplast splint for the left ring finger for the swan neck deformity. She was seen by the physician assistant on 12/9/20, status post left CMC arthroplasty and left index trigger finger release 15 days earlier. She was doing well and had 1/10 discomfort. She wanted to schedule her CMC arthroplasty on the right side as soon as possible. And they agreed to pursue that course of treatment. Dr. Armbruster continued to see her and did evidently perform surgery on the right, whose report will be inserted here. She saw Dr. Zach again on 6/22/21 regarding her right ankle and right first MPJ pain. She reported having a right lateral malleolar fracture years ago for which she underwent open reduction internal fixation. However, she was experiencing significantly more discomfort and pain. She had exhausted all conservative measures. He performed x-rays and gave diagnostic assessments to be inserted as marked on page 3 of 4 from that report. New paragraph. There are several MRI reports and surgical reports at the tail end of these records. Please insert them if they have not been captured already. Physical exam. Extremities upper inspection revealed swelling of the CMC joints bilaterally. On the volar right wrist was a short carpal tunnel release scar. On the left volar wrist was a long carpal tunnel release scar. She had swelling of the right index and long finger DIP joints. Compared to the right CMC was swollen greater than the left CMC joint. Compared there was mild tenderness to palpation about the left CMC joint, but there was none on the right. Compared to many muscle testing gave 5-5 hand grasp on the left, but was otherwise 5-5. Compared hands with elbows, normal, cervical normal. Dynamometry was pretty normal. Compared, there was also healed surgical scarring about the left thumb CMC area. Period. Impressions. Deborah Blair alleges to have been injured at work when she fell on 10-5-21. Period. Her initial symptoms involved primarily her knees. Period. She belatedly offered complaints involving the left hand. Period. She already had chronic left and right hand abnormalities and surgeries done well before this incident. Period. She ultimately had additional surgeries on the hands after the subject event to be inserted here. Period. New paragraph. It is noteworthy that the petitioner also had advanced arthritic changes in the lower extremities. Treated surgically, period, she underwent bilateral knee arthroplasty in the past. Period, the current exam found there to be healed surgical scarring about the hands with CMC swelling bilaterally, more so on the right than the left. Period, there was no triggering of the fingers. Period, she had mild tenderness, palpation about the left CMC joint. Period, provocative maneuvers were negative. Period. In paragraph, I will offer 12.5% to 15% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory left hand. Period, the lion's share of this assessment will be apportioned to her pre-existing baseline arthritic conditions unrelated to the event in question. Period. And that is the end. Scratch that, it's not the end. In your cover letter, you wrote medical records confirmed she had a prior history of bilateral thumb arthritis. Period, she first saw Dr. Nolan on 2-1-16 for bilateral osteoarthritis of the first CMC joints as well as left elbow pain. X-rays found severe degenerative joint disease of the first MCP joint of the thumb's fourth cortisone injection was given. Period, she had additional treatment with Dr. Armbruster, including additional injections. She eventually underwent a left CMC arthroplasty through her private insurance on 11-24-20. Period. She had already undergone carpal tunnel release in 1987 and 1989 by Dr. Kojo. Period. And that will be the end.